Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark S. Lee.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. And Doug, good morning. How you doing?
I'm awake and fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. You survived that heat wave we had this past week.
Yes, I did. Yes, but it's been a nice week here.
Yeah, the temperature's calmed down. And, yep. We haven't gotten a chance to get together since we know that several hundred thousand, I think half a million people, 600,000 people across Metro Detroit were out of power.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
We hopefully everybody got your power back. We know it's been a difficult transition for you, but sit back and relax and hopefully enjoy the AC today. It's going to be a beautiful day. It's going to be in the 80s here in the Motor City. That's going to be nice. I love it. And by the way, man, the Lions just started this past Thursday. Training
That's right.
camp.
That's right. Got something to look forward to.
Got something to look forward to.
See how long it lasts, but,
Yeah. We'll see.
Exactly.
We don't say wait till next year yet, do we?
No, not yet.
All right. We want you all to sit back and relax and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee, as I always like to say. As you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because the show is streamed nationally via radio.com. And I got to tell you, there's a major event that's coming the latter part of August, and I got two very special guests that join me as part of the conversation. Mr. Phil Elam. Phil, good morning. How you doing?
How are you doing, Mark S. Lee?
I'm doing just fine, and we have on the phone from Los Angeles, LACA, Chandler Kilgore-Parshall. He's a writer and a producer in LA and currently a screenplay judge for this year's ICU Awards. Chandler, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing just fine. Thank you. Well, Phil, this is the third year, right?
It is the third year, and let me tell you something, Mark S. Lee. It has become bigger and better, and this is a big shout-out to Terry Lee. You know, when you're doing something right, people start nipping at your heels, right?
Mm-hmm.
Terry has faced challenges. She's come up against various obstacles as this award has gotten bigger and better. But you know what? I'm a big Terry Lee fan for life because she keeps on smiling and doing the right thing. And because of her positivity, this third annual ICU Awards is going to be bigger and better.
And Phil, for our listeners from across Detroit and across the country, explain to them what exactly are the ICU Awards.
The ICU Awards is an award show that celebrates the independent voice in the mainstream. Because as you all know, whether you're Steven Spielberg or J.J. Abrams or whomever, you started off in the independent world by making those short films. And Terry understands the challenges and the victories and the triumphs of actually creating an independent film. And she has taken that vision and she's encompassed this into the ICU Awards. And as a result of that, this award show has had a record number of entries. The largest number of entries from Michigan by far. It's like doubling and tripling each year with regards to the prominence of this award in this market and across the country and internationally as well.
As well. And Chandler, you this is your second year, I believe, involved in the program. Is that right? Second or third year?
That's correct. I'm a screenplay judge for a second time for the film festival. Yeah.
And why did you come back? Why is this important to you?
Well, I'm also a big Terry Lee fan. I'm Team Terry, as you can say. But I'm a big fan of screenwriting. I love good stories, and I really enjoyed last year of reading all the competition, learning a little bit more about what type of scripts are out there in the field. And I have to say, this year has been extremely refreshing in terms of scripts and stories and unique voices. So I was just like, you know what? Well, I'll come back for a second year, and I do not regret it. I loved all the scripts that I've read this year, and I think there's a lot of potential out there for just some very great stories to be produced and shared.
And talk about the quality of people, just so you, the listeners will know, Chandler has experience with the Jim Henson Company and Warner Brothers, Horizon. He's kickstarted his own production company. So it goes back to what Phil said, is in terms of hanging around with high quality, top class, top flight people, these are two top flight individuals. And Phil, coming back over to you, and by the way, Terry Lee is also a movie critic on WWJ News Radio 950. You can listen to her film critics, I believe, at on 1240 or so, midday on Friday afternoons, over on WWJ. Phil, this is the third year.
Yes, it is.
You have been intimately involved. Talk to us about the evolution of the ICU Awards over a three-year period. What changes have you noticed?
Oh, my goodness. Let's start with like the third year. I'm going to work my way back, just giving you an example as to what this award show has actually morphed into. There's going to be a new segment with regards to an educational aspect with regards to people networking the opportunities to people who are very successful. And there's one individual by the name of Tom Hines who worked with the incomparable Gary Marshall. Mm. And yeah, he's actually going to be
Laverne and Shirley, right?
Laverne and Shirley. He was in the Princess Diaries 1, 2, number of things. He's working on a new project that's going to be coming up, and actually a documentary as well on Gary Marshall. And he's actually going to be there as well. There to meet and talk and just give pointers as to what it actually takes to make it in Hollywood and still be your own person, which is the most important thing.
That's outstanding.
So, yeah, it's going to be great. Yeah. And there's just a couple other things real quick.
Absolutely.
Just an example of how what has happened to people who've actually been a part of this award show. The gentleman who did Swing Low, the film that I won a few awards for back in the first year. The gentleman who directed it, Marvin Towns Jr., has gone on. He's down in Atlanta now, and he's actually getting ready to direct a feature film that's going to be a really big deal. And I'm saying this because I'm excited because I actually got a copy of the script in there, and I'm going to be doing a screen test for it. But enough about me. Right. Anyway, but what
not about you.
But I'm telling you this. If you're not a part of the ICU Awards, if you have an independent film and you haven't gotten it in, you know, this year is all locked, but next year it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. I am so excited to be a part of this city and be a part of this experience and to be asked to be a part of this. And I'm going to refer this back over because I'm not going to take up all the time.
Well, Chandler, let me come back over to you. You're a judge at this year's program. Mm-hmm. So talk to us exactly what does that mean? And as a judge, what are you looking for based on some of the screenplays that Phil just referenced a few moments ago?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, Mark, it's always tough because, I mean, there's so many different stories out there. There's some great dramas. There's some great comedies. But the biggest thing I look for in a script is originality. And because, you know, sometimes out here in this industry, sometimes you have reboots and remakes of reboots, and sometimes it can be a little frustrating that sometimes you don't see as many original stories being told because there's so much talent. It's not just Detroit. It's not just L.A. It's just anybody who can think of a good story and really wants to hone in their practicality of, you know, bringing creativity and a vision together. I really look for that. Pacing and characters, like how fast does the story go along? Is your character funny? Is your character serious? Are they well-dimensioned? These are just parts of things I look for in script. But the biggest thing for me, I think, is this originality, because there's just so many perspectives that I think are out there that just have not been explored. And with a film festival like ICU, it just opens the window for just so many different people to come through and be like, this is what I want to talk about. This is what I want to share. And the scripts I read, I was just in love with every script. I think each one was different and unique. And I would give a prize to everybody for just, you know, putting their script together and really putting the time and effort into it. But, you know, you have to pick one. So I had to really kind of hone in what is a great story that has a really compelling character. So I would say something that's compelling and original.
Outstanding. Go ahead, Phil.
You know, commenting on what Chandler was just saying with regards to originality, that's one thing that's so great about Detroit and the city is that based upon the challenges and the fortitude and the resilience that, you know, we all have in this city, you know, you have to be original, right? Yeah. If you're going to make it, you know, you got to think outside the box to solve the problems. You got to, you know, do something that's never been done before to get to someplace you've never been, right? So just because of that, this is what one of the spirits of the IC Awards is all about, just celebrating that independent, original voice. And I think that's one of the reasons why it's just become a bigger and bigger event each year.
We are talking to Mr. Phil Elam, and also on the phone, our good friend from Los Angeles, yes, the City of Angels, Chandler Kugel Partial. And we're talking about the third annual third annual ICU Awards being put on by Ms. Terry Lee and her team, and will be held here in the Motor City. We'll get some particulars from Phil in a moment. But it's the third annual. It's grown, it's evolved over the three-year period. And it's a program that's focused on acknowledging and recognizing independent filmmakers. And yes, they're entrepreneurs. That's why this show is so germane to having this conversation, because the show is focused on entrepreneurship and small business development. Chandler, from your standpoint, you heard Phil talk about Detroit and its originality. As someone 2,000 miles away, briefly, how do you view Detroit as the emerging city as it relates to independent filmmakers?
Well, I think it's absolutely fabulous. Like, as I was saying, bringing a unique perspective is very important, and I believe that you don't have to be in Los Angeles or New York to find it. You know, some of the greatest talents, like David Lynch, for example, he used to go to film school in Philadelphia, and, you know, now we know who David Lynch is, really fantastic director. So I think that Detroit becoming a city that's creative and motivated by filmmaking and the industry, I think that's fantastic. I would not be surprised that more people from LA would move up to Detroit and check out the scene. I think it's fantastic, and I'm definitely excited to see the growth and potential for the city.
Yeah. Yeah, and Phil, you have been you're a singer, you're a filmmaker, you're everything, man. And to me, you kind of represent Detroit. Detroit has given us Motown now, techno music, and all this, the creative juices. What keeps you going?
You know what? This is what keeps me going. Let me tell you a story of what happened. Terry and I, we do a podcast and various videos with regards to the IC Awards, and we also travel. We went to Chicago to do an interview for a lady who's actually up for an award this year, just an interview with her. And this is Terry. We went to a karaoke bar, right? Here's like a crew from Detroit. We are completely out of place. You know, Terry Lee got up there and did Boogie Oogie Oogie.
Oh, no, she didn't.
Yeah, she did.
Don't have to tell me that story. Now I'm going to expect to see it every time I see her.
She turned that place out. Miss Nice Polite Terry Lee, she turned it. She was lit.
Well, Chandler, let me ask you, are you coming? Are you coming for the awards program this year? Or are you going to hang out in L.A.?
I hope so. Okay. I'm looking at my schedule.
Get up here.
August. I'm a little bit swamped right now with the production company I'm running right now. Sure. So, but I'm hoping that I can sneak away and definitely check out the festival. That'd be fantastic.
Well, we have less than probably about a minute or so to go. Phil, let me come over to you. Give us the particulars. Give us the details. When is it going to be? Where is it going to be held?
August 22nd through the 25th, Imagine Theater, Royal Oak. The award show is going to be on that Sunday. It's going to be a great event. The competition is fierce this year. Mm-hmm. And there's going to be the Imagine Theater, the Imagine Grill is going to have an after party, afterglow for networking and things of that nature. And of course, like I said, Tom Hines is going to be live entertainment. It's going to be a great time. I'm going to be there. I already got my tux reserved. After six. Anyway, actually, other sponsors this year is like Limo World and things of that nature. So great event.
And what's the website?
It is icuawards.com.
You know, Chandler, we want to thank you again from afar, man, for being supportive of what's happening in our great city. We know that we continue to emerge, and we know that we have great creative talent, and this is certainly another opportunity for Detroit to show that talent, and we thank you for your participation. We really do. Thank you.
I appreciate it, and I'm looking forward to seeing what this year and next year is going to be about.
Absolutely. And Phil, of course, we always want to thank you for your enthusiasm and your passion. You are a shining star for the Motor City.
Man, thank you very much. Thank you, Rince. Hey, Chandler, good talking to you.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. There'll be more guests at this commercial break on Small Talk with Marcus Lee. We'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus Lee. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying this beautiful day in the Motor City. We're in the middle part of July, quickly going to the latter part of July, which is a scary thought. I got to tell you, this past week, I heard for the very first time back-to-school commercials. Whoa, can we slow down? All right, I want you to sit back and enjoy the conversation. This segment, in fact, is brought to you by Michigan.com. And I need to give a very special quick thank you and shout out. This past Friday, I had the opportunity and the distinct honor of hosting and moderating a fireside chat at the Detroit Historical Museum. Just to kind of give you a little bit of backstory, there's a program, a TV show that's going to be broadcast nationally, and Detroit is one of the featured cities in the first, I think it's August the 12th, on a PBS, a national broadcast, so locally here on Channel 56. And I was fortunate enough to interview and have a conversation Friday night with the producer and the creator of the TV show. So we will be on the national spotlight, in the national spotlight. And yes, if you look closely, I was one of the participants, and you will see what I look like as part of that national TV broadcast. So I want to give a shout out to Family Pictures USA out of New York City. So thank you to the Big Apple for inviting me. And also thank you to the Detroit Historical Museum. The place was packed and the weather was beautiful. Our very special next guest, Ms. Lynn Gladner, and she's the founder, president, CEO of Your People LLC, and she's been kind enough to call in this morning. Lynn, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mark.
Good, good. Now, you've got a great story. Give us a very brief overview of your company, Your People. Then we'll kind of take the conversation from there.
Yeah, sure. So I was a journalist for newspapers and magazines for 15 years before I started Your People in 2007. And I started it to really help companies and organizations with their story, their public relations, anything that really used communications. And it's grown over the years. Now we've expanded from just doing straight public relations to doing full-scale marketing campaigns for nonprofits, schools and universities, and entrepreneurs as well.
Yeah, and I want to talk about your growth. We had a great conversation this past week about your business and how you have continued to evolve. And of course, your most recent initiative that you're focused on will be podcasting. So kind of take us down the path of where you focused primarily initially on public relations and how you've evolved your strategy from a business standpoint to ultimately get into podcasting as well.
Yeah, you know, it's a great question. My podcast, the Make Meaning Podcast, I launched a year ago in July of 2018, and the idea was to use it as a marketing tool. So I intended to interview really inspiring people as a way of getting us out there more and sharing great stories, getting back to my journalism roots. But it has become its own thing, and not only is it a great marketing tool, it's a wonderful way to really bring inspiration to people, to show how people are making meaning in their work and finding purpose in their lives. And it's inspired us to evolve even more so. We are launching the Message Meaning Purpose Movement, which is encompassing workshops and retreats, helping others find their story and their purpose. And we're launching it in September with an event at Detroit City Distillery, free, open to the public. You can find out about it at our website, which is yourppl.com. And we're going to talk about, you know, what is your story and how do you really communicate that to your best audience?
And I want to hone in on podcasting because this is a question I get a lot. As you all know, I've been doing this for several years now, and I'm very fortunate and very blessed to just be able to do this with you each and every single week. You know, but one question I get, Lynn, is about this thing called podcasting. So one of my challenges, as I articulate to people in all my public speaking engagements, is if you do a podcast, I'm getting a sense, and I'm not talking about you, not so please, mm-hmm. No. But I'm getting a sense that a lot of people are doing podcasts because they simply want to get their names and faces and their voices out there. And they don't necessarily have a focused message per se. From your perspective as an expert, as a marketing guru, is that a relatively fair statement or am I way off base here?
I think you are spot on, Mark. I think it's a hot trend. But the good podcasts rise to the top, like yours, that people really tune into. And I'm hoping mine will eventually get to that point because we're doing it for the sake of sharing great stories mm-hmm. and inspiration, educating people, informing, and not just to toot our own horn. It's very rarely about me on my podcast. It's really about these inspiring people and organizations, and it's so much fun. And so, you know, there's one thing to be podcasting, there's another to market your podcast. And, you know, we are a marketing company, but we work a lot harder to market others than to market ourselves, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've just started really aggressively trying to get our podcast out there so that people are listening to it. So you can produce a podcast, but that doesn't mean anybody's going to listen to it, right?
That's right. So, but if you could give someone 3 to 4 specific tips in terms of producing a high quality podcast, what are some of the basic tenets that they should participate or focus on?
Well, I think the first thing is to not think you can do it yourself. You need a really talented engineer who can record it on really good equipment in the right setting and then do the edits that are needed, because inevitably there are going to be edits. So that's number one. Number two is you need to have a brand. And so my podcast, the Make Meaning Podcast, is how people make meaning in their work and find purpose in their lives. And that's really the theme. So we invite people on if we can find that angle in their work or in just their leadership, and if they have takeaway for listeners. So I think you have to brand yourself really well, be faithful to that brand, and trust talented sound engineers to run it for you. You have to sort of invest the money and time into hiring that person who can do it right.
I also think you're absolutely spot on that a person needs to have a, what are they going to represent? That goes, ties back into the brand. What specifically do you want to focus on? In other words, so people know me, obviously, for entrepreneurship and small business development. I'm very fortunate where we do have a lot of people who listen to this show, and we have a waiting list of guests who want to certainly come on Small Talk. But we've been doing it for a long time. But one thing that you can say about this particular show, and I'm fortunate to have a great engineer in Doak over there who does, he hits all the right buttons. But people know what we represent. They know what we stand for. And I think what you're suggesting, too, is understand your brand and understand what you want to communicate and how you're going to communicate it.
Yes. Well, and I also look at the Make Meaning podcast as an extension of what we do as a company. And so it becomes sort of a barometer. Are we staying true to our purpose, to our path? And we want to be consistent. So everything we do is about helping people figure out their story and then build a strategy that's going to authentically share that with the right audience in a mutually beneficial way. And that's the overarching theme of our marketing and PR efforts. And so the podcast is an extension of our brand, and I think it's really important to know who you are, define your niche, and really be faithful to that.
We are talking to Lynn Gladner, and she's the founder of Your People LLC, and she's really doing some great things here in the Motor City. She's a former journalist, and certainly is primarily a print journalist, if that's correct. Is that fair? A print journalist?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And she started her business several years ago. This is a great example of someone who started in the PR space but has continued to evolve and diversify her business strategy over the years, which leads me to my next question. So I'm listening this morning, and I'm saying, Lynn, you know, I have a business idea and I want to focus on X, or I may have been in business for a while. What are some of the decision points or criteria that I should use if I want to consider expanding or diversifying my business?
You know, that's a great question, Mark. I think that every business owner or entrepreneur needs to take stock at least twice a year. So once a year to look at your strategy, plan out the next 12 months, and make sure you're staying the course, evaluate what you've been doing, and determine if you want to keep going in that direction. And then halfway through that year, I think it's really important to stop and assess, are you where you want to be? Are you effective? Are you helping your clients in a really meaningful way? And if not, I think it's great to, we do this with a lot of companies actually, take them on sort of the exploration of where do you want to be? You know, if you want to pivot and you want to evolve, let's do some free writing, let's do some brainstorming, and see as a team, not just the top leader, but everybody involved, where do you want to take this? And then I'm all about strategy, so you have to really map it out. What are the steps we take to get us there? It's got to be well thought out. Everyone needs to buy into it, and it has to be step by step so that you can make it there.
Yeah, and I love what you just said, the step-by-step, the process, the plan. Exactly what is your plan? You know, for any business idea, it's one thing to have an idea. But the next thing is, how do you execute, how do you develop that plan and certainly execute against the plan? Don't just come up with the idea and then try to execute it, because you got to have that plan. Here we are, the Detroit Lions. My book of us, as I like to say, just started training camp this past Thursday, and we know the first exhibition game is August the 8th, but what they're doing for the next 6 weeks is putting together their game plan for the regular season. Mm-hmm. Now, they may win, they may not win, but the fact of the matter is they're putting together a game plan. So, Lynn, right. let me come back over to you, because you also, we have a couple of minutes remaining. You referenced, I know we had past conversations, and you were doing writing seminars, another part of your business strategy. Talk to us about your writing seminars.
Yeah, so I'm a writer at heart. That's my first love, my first passion. And so as a company, we offer workshops and retreats and seminars all the time. Sometimes we go into companies, and there's always writing that's part of it, because that's how you get in touch with your inner voice and your truth, really. But I've also taught writing workshops just for people who want to be writing essays or stories. And it's all from the same source. It's finding your voice and having the courage to use it. And so part of our message, meaning, purpose movement will include, that's where our workshops will go from now on, future retreats where people can get in touch with their true self and figure out how that's going to guide them in their career.
I would agree. I think the writing helps me. I mean, I've written for a newspaper several years ago for 3 years. That's where Small Talk actually started. It actually started in print. Not many people know that story. Then, of course, I took it over to Cranes. And I used to writing for therapy for me, actually. And I just love featuring other people. And now I've expanded and contribute to Detroit News. And sometimes I contribute to Detroit Free Press. But my point is, the writing for me is a way of just getting my thoughts. And some people find it as a challenge, Lynn. I find it as an opportunity just to express myself.
It is. It's like a release. And you kind of face your true self. It's like looking in the mirror and you can't hide. And so you realize, wow, I didn't realize I was thinking that way or feeling that way. Mm-hmm. Huh, how should I take what I've just discovered and let that inform my next step? So I am a big believer in daily writing habits, even if it's just, you know, 2-3 pages. Write down whatever comes out and don't judge it. And then hopefully that clears your clutter so that you can start your day on a really good note.
Outstanding. In our closing 30 seconds or so, give us the particulars of your next event. When is it going to be, and where can people get more information as well?
Yep. It's September 24th at Detroit City Distillery in Detroit, and they can register at yourppl.com/MMPstory. We have a Facebook event page where you can reserve your spot too, because it's going to fill up, but it's free. And there's a custom Your People cocktail for those who'd like one. And we'll be talking about what's your story and how to figure that out.
Lynn Gladner, thank you very much for calling in. I hope you're having a wonderful summer, by the way, with the family.
Thank you. It's been great. And I'm so honored to be on your show, Mark.
Thanks, Lynn. Again, we appreciate all you're doing. This segment, in fact, was brought to you by Michigan.com. And speaking of entrepreneurship and creativity, we have a very special guest in the studio after this commercial break, focusing on photography on Small Talk with Mark S. Lee. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Marcus. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying this beautiful weekend morning and the conversation over a nice hot cup of coffee. Although, since we've had some nice, beautiful weather, I know it's been hot, a lot of wind, a lot of rain, you might just be sitting back with a nice cold beverage. That's okay as well. All right, as you know, this part of the show, I'd like to give my shout out to AM 1270 for giving me this forum. Each and every single week to have this conversation with you. You might be sitting here in the Motor City reading your Free Press or your mobile technology. Just sit back and enjoy the conversation. Or you might be listening to Small Talk across the country with one of our many .coms, including WWJNewsRadio.com, LeeGroupInnovation.com, SoundCloud.com, Radio.com, TheHubDetroit.com. So you might be sitting at home in your city like Dallas or Chicago or New York or Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, it doesn't matter, and reading your local newspaper and your nice hot or cold beverage. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation with our very next special guest. No, he's not related to me. Mr. Sean Lee. And he's the founder and the owner of Sean Lee Studios in Southfield, Michigan. And he's also a photography instructor for Schoolcraft College locally here in Livonia, Michigan. And he's a diversity lead for the Professional Photographers of America and is the CEO and the president of PPA's newest national affiliate called the Multicultural Association of Professional Photographers. Sean, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Man, thank you for having me.
No, you're the man.
No. You're the man. Your name is Lee.
So we started this show with a nice tribute to Terry Lee.
Yes.
Now we got Sean Lee joining Mark Lee. This is the Lee Show. We're going to rebrand it. You are a photographer.
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Give us a brief overview of your background.
Well, I've been a photographer professional photographer for the last 16 years. I'm born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. And to make the long story short, I've worked extremely hard. I'm a full-time photographer. I have a studio here locally in Michigan, and it has awarded me the opportunity to become a diversity lead for the largest trade organization in the world for professional photographers.
So some people pick golf.
Yes.
Some people pick writing. Some people pick education, whatever it might be. They might just want to travel as a hobby. How did you get involved in photography?
To be honest with you, I worked in the automotive field. I was on the line until I got laid off of my job. And so I said, if I'm a look at something, I'm getting tired of being on call. And I'm getting tired of people having control of my life. And so I said, I'm going to try photography. And so I jumped off into education, and here I am some years later. And so that has sort of been the ride and the story of not just photography, but small business ownership.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been a professional photographer?
How long? I've been a professional photographer for about 16 years now, and has been going strong pretty good ever since. And so I said, well, listen, I want to not just be a professional photographer. How do I open up doors for people?
But, okay, you worked on the line.
Yes.
And then you lost your job.
Yes.
And then you rebranded yourself, and you started doing things and where you have a passion. So my question is, Sean, as you were working on the line, were you also a photographer, an informal photographer, for lack of a better phrase? Just taking pictures around town.
That's such a great question. So I was an informal photographer. I would even say I was just an artist.
Okay.
Right? And so probably like most people, I'm a man. I like toys. And so I went and just bought a camera so I could have it. Right? Mm-hmm. And so I would take photos here and there, didn't know what I was doing. I put the camera on automatic and take a bunch of shots and hope two or three of them were good. Mm-hmm. Right? That's probably what most of us do. And so when the time came, I looked at that camera as my source of potential income.
Yeah. And so many people are listening this morning and they're saying, you know, I'm in a similar situation. What I mean by that, there's a chance that, you know, my job might be cut or, you know, the economy is relatively strong, but there's still been discussions about how people still might lose their job. And they're thinking about the field of entrepreneurship. What do you tell that person who could be potentially devastated by the fact that, you know, their identities are tied into their job, right? Then all of a sudden, you're out of work. But yet you really want to put your toe in the water with entrepreneurship. Based on your experience, what do you tell them?
I tell them to go for it, right? That's the beauty of entrepreneurship. At the root of the word, it means to be a risk taker, right? And so there is the opportunity to calculate some risk, to figure out what you want to do, and then write your own way or write your own book. And that's a challenge, and it can be scary, but it's also a great challenge. Some of the best things in life are on roads that have never before been traveled, and that's the way I like to define entrepreneurship.
One of the things that I really want to talk to you about is this thing called diversity in photography. And I know that's important to you. Mm-hmm. You're the lead of a major organization, the Multicultural Association of Professional Photographers. You know, talk to us about how is diversity within that particular field right now? Is it still a ways to go? Is it level set? Kind of give us your honest perspective.
There's a ways to go. And I'm going to tell you, there's probably weight on both sides to be had. And so the photography industry has been white for 150 years. And so PPA, our parent organization, realized that and they threw in and they want to help. I think also for people of different nationalities and different colors, they've never expected to go to a high level in the industry, so they've never tried. And so my goal and my job is to educate people and to say, hey, there are opportunities here. Come and take advantage of them and then bring them down to a level on the playing field where people can actually access the resources to bring their game up and to strengthen us in the industry. if that makes sense.
And do we find in the educational system, you're an educator at Schoolcraft College.
Yes, sir.
Are the schools at the elementary school, middle school, okay, at the high school level, for example, are they teaching photography classes in school? Is that another of those programs that are being yanked out?
That's another one of those programs that are being yanked out. Mm. When you think about photography, it's not a mainstay in schools, right? And when you talk about core classes and all of that stuff, they're not talking about art. And so that's a lot of stuff that's pulled out. And so I teach some classes in some middle schools and some high schools, but it is because I go in and actually offer those services.
And your photography, your work, what types of genres, if you will, do you focus on? And there's other photographers we talked in town. One individual focuses on the skyline and uses a drone and takes these elevated photos of downtown Detroit, for example. What is your area of specialty?
My area, oh man, that's so good. My area of specialty is I love corporate photography, and I shoot a lot of high school seniors. I love high school seniors because of the youth and the energy that they bring to the table. It makes my job really easy. Rock that.
Yeah, oh, that's your phrase. We're talking to Sean Lee, a professional photographer. He's from Sean Lee Studios in Southfield. And talk to me about that phrase, rock that. What exactly does that mean?
Oh, man, that is, rock that is my term for just making life happen, right? And so being from Detroit, born and raised, and even us as the largest municipality to go through bankruptcy, right, it hasn't been easy for us, right? And so there have been many opportunities for me to stop and for me to fail and for me to quit. And I would say to any person, for any opportunity that is presented for you to stop, you should have 8, 9, 10, or 12 ready to present why you should keep going.
Yeah.
And so rock that is my term for making life happen. And so if somebody wants to make life happen, my term to them will always be encouraging. And I will always say to them, rock that. Go get it. Go do it. You can make it happen.
And you've been a featured speaker for Miller's Professional Imaging. You've been a co-chair of Speaker Selection Committee for Imaging USA Conference, the director of photography at TEDx Detroit, and some other things, Rebrand Cities. And you've done a lot of things across the city of Detroit and beyond. You know, talk to the person that's saying, okay, this guy is doing a great job building his brand, building his business. How do you get new business? What's your business development strategy?
You got to talk to people. When you say business development strategy, you literally have to get out there and get into the marketplace. And I think a person first, if you're going to be a photographer, figure out what type of photography you want to do. I think you should absolutely research that genre of photography, see where it's needed, see what type of budgets are built around it. And then I think you go after your target clientele, which means you have to talk to people. Go where they are. Go to the networking events that they are at. Go to the places where you will find them, and start to build your business that way. You cannot just sit behind and hope business is going to come to you. It's created from relationships and you making life happen.
And do you, your work, let's just say, for example, some of your photos, have they ever been placed in studios where people, I'm sure you have all types of studios across Metro Detroit where people kind of go and take out the exhibits. Do you do that type of work as well, where your work is being featured in a studio?
In a gallery?
Thank you.
I haven't done gallery work.
I'm not an artist, man. He's teaching me.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I used to do a lot of gallery shows some years ago, but because of the work that I do now, I don't have much time, but I can tell you that I've had several magazine covers that are international and national and things of that nature. And a lot of what I do now that features my work is the speaking that I do. And so I do a great deal of traveling the country and throughout speaking and opening up doors for people of color. And so my work is also seen in those venues.
And I've seen your work. I know we follow each other on social media. So I've seen some of your work, the photos, and I think primarily through LinkedIn, I believe we're connected.
Okay.
But I want you to talk to me about a major event that just took place this past weekend.
Yes.
I think you were hosting a conference, is that right? Or hosting an event in Detroit. Talk to us about that.
Yes, it's called the Rock That Photography Conference and Trade Show. It was an amazing, amazing show. It is where we brought in some of the best photographic talent on the planet to Detroit for 3 days of intense photography instruction. And it was amazing. About 350 people came to the Suburban Collection Showplace in Novi, Michigan, where we had all of this instruction going on. Trade show was amazing. We had opening reception, closing party, afterglows. We had Motor Coach Downtown Detroit with people all over downtown Detroit photographing. It was very, very rich experience. And not only that, as a conference, we gave back to society. We give back to Detroit. And so we partnered with the NSO to give back to the homeless. We partnered with Focus Hope to train our youth. And it is it was an amazing, amazing experience that takes place.
And, you know, we just had just completed the NAACP convention that brought in 10,000 people this past week into downtown Detroit. Here's another event that's being put on by an entrepreneur where he brought in 350. I don't care if it's 10,000 people or 350 people. The important message here is that he's giving back, and he's helping individuals to come in and explore the city of Detroit, the metropolitan area. And you heard what he said, intense instruction in the space of photography. So, you know, if people want to get more information about photography and their interest has been piqued because of this conversation, what do you tell that person who wants to put their foot out there as well, but they're afraid? Because we all got cell phones now. They're like, what do I need a camera? I can just use my phone camera, my iPhone camera, to take a picture.
Yes. And we got everybody covered, which is a beautiful thing. And so if they wanted to actually step in, what I love about what we do is that we've created a community of people that will take care of you no matter what your skill level is. So you don't have to feel dumb or stupid or anything like that. We cover people no matter where you are. And so if you go to rockthatconference.com and fill out our contact sheet, You will be engaged by some of our very best people that will wrap their arms around you, both literally and figuratively, right, to take care of you in this walk of photography. And even those that have smartphones, we will teach you how to take better smartphone photos.
So I guess that picture that I took last at the Tigers game, when I went to the Tigers game this past week, I posted it on Facebook, it could probably be improved.
Yeah, we could help you with that.
You can help me with that?
Absolutely.
You know, I love your passion, man. I know we're wrapping up here, but I love your passion. I love what you're doing. Any other major events upcoming and closing that you have on your docket?
Well, we have, for 2020, we have Rock That Conference 2020 that we are wrapping up right now. And so the dates will be coming out. And once again, if they go to rockthatconference.com, they can check that out. 2021, we will be doing the Rock That Photography Conference and Trade Show Cruise. Okay. So that information will also be launching on rockthatconference.com. So stay tuned.
And what is your website?
RockThatConference.com is our website. My own personal website is SeanLeeStudios.com, SHAWN.
All right, to my namesake, Mr. Sean Lee, I want to thank you for coming again. Appreciate sharing this information. Keep up the great work.
Thank you for having me, Mark. It was a joy.
My pleasure. This segment, in fact, was brought to you by Michigan.com. There will be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley. Hang tight. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley. I hope you're sitting back and enjoying this conversation. We're having a great conversation over that nice hot cup of coffee. But although I'm just so happy that we have these warm days, summer days, and you know, I'm still shaking my head, Doak, man. I'm still shaking my head because I saw this first back-to-school commercial this past week.
I know. It's not going to be long now. It's that they're going to be back in school.
So you're back in school, then all of a sudden, of course, my beloveds.
Yep.
Started this past Thursday, Detroit Lions along the NFL. I'm going to get my standard prediction, 8-8.
8-8? That's probably fair.
All right.
I heard earlier this week that some guy said 4-12. I went, uh-oh.
Yeah, we're so jaded.
We don't know.
All right, just sit back and enjoy the conversation with two very special guests. As you know, this show is focused on entrepreneurship, and I want to take this last segment and focus on youth entrepreneurship. Mr. Arthur Hampton, and also a special young man, I'm going to have my special guest, Arthur, introduce him and explain to you what's going on here about youth entrepreneurs. Mr. Arthur Hampton, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, and thank you for this opportunity to introduce this young man, Dylan McConnell. He is outstanding in every way. He's a gentleman and a scholar. He's a hardworking young entrepreneur, and I think everything that he brings to the table really has amplified what he's learned through youth entrepreneurs.
Dylan, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've become the Detroit celebrity. I've seen you on the news. I've seen you on other radio stations. And you know, congratulations. You're going to be a senior in the fall, right?
Yes, I am.
And you are an entrepreneur.
Indeed.
What type of business do you have?
Well, I have a custom clothing line. It's called Air Customs. And it's all about, you know, bringing the customer's visions and putting it on a shirt or a hoodie or whatever they want.
Okay. And Arthur, I want to come back over to you because you are kind of like the coordinator, the manager, essentially, of the program. Yeah. And explain the program exactly what the program is to our listeners.
Well, I'm the stakeholder relationship manager for Michigan. So what that entails is that I work with schools and identify schools that are interested in bringing on an entrepreneurial piece to their curriculum. So we work with both charter and public, parochial and diocesan. So we really work to engage all sectors of that meet the 50% free and reduced meal. We supplement our educators. They receive a stipend as well as funding for their classrooms for all resources for the students. So there isn't anything that we ask them to do that isn't funded. We have a generous funder in Guardian Industries, mm-hmm. Ron Vaupel and Maisie Gillis there. And they have been essential to the growth of the program in the state of Michigan.
I believe Guardian Industries was actually started by Bill Davidson,
yes.
Who used to own the Detroit Pistons.
Correct.
Yeah, and not many people, if you're from Detroit, you know that, but the as the years continue to pass, not many people know that. So certainly his legacy still continues. And talk about the program that Dylan, and I'll come back to Dylan in a second, but it's, if I recall, it's during the academic year, that right?
Yes.
And what exactly does it entail?
So what happens then is the selected YE educator is going to walk students through the curriculum where they're learning about sunk cost, cost of goods sold, all types of economic concepts where they are then able to ideate and create their own business ideas, business plans, pitch those ideas, and then those ideas are funded leading toward a market day where they get to test their theories and their business plans and sell their wares and then evaluate the ROI. Was my business plan good? Was my marketing plan sound? So you get an opportunity to learn by doing.
And Dylan, did you go through all that?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Yeah.
And go ahead.
I just wanted to say that a lot of people think that, you know, entrepreneurship class is like all just textbooks and things like that. We actually go through and we learn from doing instead of just reading and learning from what other people did. So we actually go through we learn about rapid prototyping, about like throwing paper planes and mm-hmm. things like that. So
I think that's very cool. I mean, everybody knows I'm an educator as well. And one of the things I try to do is I don't just talk theory.
Right.
In my classrooms, I try to talk the practical sense, bring in real-life examples. I just had lunch this past week with someone, and we were just talking about our teaching strategy for this fall. Okay, students at Eastern Michigan, you know I'm coming after you pretty soon. But anyway, we were talking about our strategies, and one of the strategies is to try that practical approach. Did you find that when you got the hands-on experience, what were some of the things that you really learned just getting hands-on as being an entrepreneur? What were some of the key components of it?
Well, the one of the things that I really learned that was really useful is sound judgment, which is part of our list of foundational values. It is using the least amount of resources to get the most out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So sound judgment and cost of goods sold, they really came in handy with our market day. So using those cost of goods sold, it really helped me set my prices so I know that I'm making a great profit at the end of the day. And also pivoting. Because sometimes when I would sell, I would run out really fast and I would have to pivot and, you know, go back and come back harder with more stuff and do it quickly and at a, you know, necessary pace.
And as I referenced in opening comments, you're going to be a senior in the fall.
Yes.
Now, what school do you go to?
I go to Cornerstone Health and Technology.
And for folks listening across the country, where is that?
That is in Detroit, Michigan. On
West Side, East Side?
Oh, West Side of Detroit.
Yeah. You know, Doug, I mean, you listen to this, man. He's talking language I didn't learn about seriously.
Oh, no.
I got to college.
I learned pivoting in basketball. That's all I know.
And now we're talking about pivoting in business.
Exactly.
And he's talking ROI and things like that. Things that, you know, you work here at the radio station. You understand it from a budgetary standpoint. I understand it from my own business perspective. But to hear that at such a young age, Arthur, I mean, that's got to make you feel good, because listening to him talk and how intelligent and what he's talking and based on knowledge, that's got to be very impressive to you.
Well, he's definitely reflective of the love of his home, his mom and dad.
And his parents are here.
Yes. And but he's also a reflection of his educator, Ms. Renate Matthews, who is fantastic, and of his school leadership, Jared Davis, who's also an amazing school leader. So there are so many people pouring into him. what he's receiving from YE and the support and exposure that he's getting through Youth Entrepreneurs supplements what's already going on. That's in what's really a dynamic young person.
We're talking to Arthur Hampton, and we're also talking to Dylan McConnell. We're talking about youth entrepreneurs. You know, a lot of times Detroit, we have a tendency of focusing on existing businesses, and specifically businesses that have been around for a while, and particularly amongst adults, and I'm talking about more mature adults. But let's not forget that the future of our city we have to look to our young people, and looking to our young people to pick up the mantle when it comes to businesses. And when I was younger, my path was very straightforward. I went to high school, and I went straight to college, I got my MBA, and I went straight into corporate space. I didn't even think about entrepreneurship until later in my career. Now we're finding a lot of younger people, even the students that I teach at Eastern Michigan, at least 30 to 40% of those students want to go into the entrepreneurial field, Arthur. So it continues to be a reflection of the trend that we're seeing, that younger people want to give back in different ways while getting a chance of making some money.
Well, you know, I think that as an educator, also one of the things that is important to me, increasingly important at this point in my career, is to be able to add value. So the students of today, 16, 17, 15, we even have some middle schools that's coming on that's going to implement YE. The sooner and earlier we can implement the idea of entrepreneurship, problem solving for profit, the sooner that we can get them thinking about what problem in the world do they see that they want to address. Mm-hmm. We can pivot students to thinking, you know, I want to get an engineering degree for this reason. I want to go to medicine for that reason, opposed to, well, that's where money is, so that's where I'm going. And they're unfortunately sometimes not academically aligned for those jobs where they're chasing money opposed to following where their gifts will lead them.
And Dylan, I want to come back over to you, because a lot of times, even as a young person, I'm looking back at myself, I knew what I wanted to do, mm-hmm. even as I was going through school. And so as you were younger, mm-hmm. what did you really want to do as you continue to grow and mature? Have you always wanted to be an entrepreneur? Somebody will say, I want to be a doctor. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, I want to be a lawyer. Somebody says, I want to be working on the plants in Detroit, the auto plants, whatever. What was your path? What was your dream back in the day?
Well, honestly, when I was younger, I just really wanted to make my family happy. Like I didn't really care what it was, but I just knew that whatever it was, I wanted to make sure that even after I was gone, it would still have that generational wealth. So, I mean, that was kind of something that was really instilled through, my family and what they kind of pushed. But it wasn't so much forced, but I kind of went with it. But I knew that since maybe beginning of middle school, I knew I wanted to be an entrepreneur. So.
That's cool. And the name of your clothing, I love how you came up with the name. It's called Air, H-E-I-R. Explain how you came up with the name.
Okay, so the entire name, Air Customs, it comes from the family and, you know, like heir to the throne. So mom and dad are king and queen, and me being the oldest, I'm next in line for royalty, and I'm the heir. So,
and then I'm going to be next in line for the royalty fees. So as you are, you're clearly a role model.
Yeah.
And you're very articulate. I'm sure that you do a lot of public speaking. As you talk to younger people about your journey, mm-hmm. and your path, what would you like to share with those who might be listening, who might be younger, listening to with their parents this morning?
I would just want to share that it's never going to be a straight road. It's always going to be ups and downs. Like, you never expect, you can hope, but, you know, never get disappointed when things aren't going your way. So just always be able to come back and bounce back and just pivot, because it's a key thing.
And I had the opportunity of meeting your younger brother. Does he want to follow your path, or is he just kind of sit back trying to figure out what his journey might be?
He doesn't want to follow my path as far as in the clothing business. He wants to be a photographer. So he's more interested in taking pictures and things like that. He's actually my personal photographer. Anything on my Instagram page, he took those pictures.
See, that's keeping it in the family. Now, I got to ask you about your parents. Had they been in the entrepreneurial space or no?
No, it was more so they kind of egged me towards it, but them themselves aren't into it. My mom wants to start a party planning business, so we're getting that up and running.
Okay. Arthur, we have a little over a minute remaining. Talk to us about the plans for the fall. How can people get more information? Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, in closing, I'd like to invite, you know, schools or school leaders to reach out through youthentrepreneurs.org if they're interested in youth entrepreneurs. I'm open. I'm here in Michigan looking forward to grow partnerships, not just to increase our footprint. It's about being value aligned where you have a school leader and an educator who's interested and see the value mm-hmm. of bringing entrepreneurship to their school, and they can overlay it in their curriculum for marketing or accounting, or even if they have an entrepreneur class already, all they're going to have is a more robust experience. We also work well complementary with Junior Achievement and DECA as well. In terms of plans for the future, we're rolling out now in the fall with 15 new schools, 10 returning schools, so we'll have 25 schools next year going into the school year, and then we're now pivoting and getting ready for that enrollment.
Okay. Well, I got to tell you, what is the website real quick?
Youthentrepreneurs.org.
Well, Arthur, I thoroughly enjoyed this conversation each time I talk to you. Thank you very much for coming in. Dylan, we wish you much continued success this fall.
Thank you.
Go get that 4.0, by the way. Okay?
All right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for this opportunity.
Absolutely. Doak, man, I hope you're okay. You want me to give you some water over there?
Yeah, that was great. Great stuff.
You need that cold lemonade.
Yeah,
what a great show.
It was outstanding.
Well, anything you're going to do, anything you want to say in closing as well?
Yeah, just congrats to this program and this young gentleman. I mean, this is the future, man. This is the good stuff. I love this stuff.
I do too. And we want you all to go out, make it a great day, make it a great week. Okay, for the first time this season, I know it's training camp. We're going to close by saying what, Doak?
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Go Lions.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.